Well, turn in your Bibles to Numbers 27 this morning, if you would. We have every week I say we have a wonderful prayer today, and every week it's a wonderful prayer in the Bible, and there's always so much that we can learn from these prayers. And in Numbers 27, we have Moses at the end of his life here on earth. We just had the inheritance law clarification with the daughters of Zelophehad. We've had the second census of Israel, and you know, when you read that census and you look at those numbers, you think of that huge mob of people, but you know, not one of the people that was numbered in the first census of the men is numbered in the second, because none of them would go into the land except Joshua and Caleb. But we have here, the Lord tells Moses in verse 12, "Go up unto Mount Abarim and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother was gathered." So we see the end of Moses' life. We see the end of Moses' ministry. And I was just thinking, as you know, I'm involved with the cancer support group, and we have a typical phrase used in cancer and other things, which is not very accurate, but it's, they have terminal illness, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, little do we know, I mean, little do doctors know, everybody has a terminal illness, so the only difference is it's whether you have an idea when it's coming. So
sooner or later.
And sometimes miracles happen in that little ministry, because I came in with stage 4 cancer, and 6 years later, here I am.
But you're still going to die one day.
You'll have a terminal illness.
Well,
Linda.
So sometime God gives us a little more time, or maybe we're in a serious car accident or something like that, and God gives us more time. But here we see Moses is being told by God that he's not going to go into the land because of his misrepresentation of God in Kadesh Barnea. Now, it doesn't tell us in the account here, but in Deuteronomy 3, 24 and 25 account, Moses argues with God on this subject and says, reconsider, God. And God says, be quiet, don't bring it up again. So. But I'm just thinking about you and I. We may not be turning our ministries over because of death, but we may be turning our ministries over because of being called to something else or being sent somewhere else. And I think the transition of the ministry here is important to look at in this prayer. It obviously would really fit a senior pastor at Calvary Chapel, because we kind of have the government of Moses as the leader of the flock in the wilderness as a type of Calvary Chapel pastor here. So it seems like there's much application for that, but I think also in other areas there's application. So Moses has been told he's going to be gathered together with his fathers, and that he's not going to go into the land, but God mercifully lets him see the land by going up on top of the mountain there on the east side of Jordan and looking across and seeing it. Now look at what Moses' prayer is in verse 15, and I believe this is the last prayer of Moses that we have recorded in the Bible. Moses says, "Let the Lord, let Yahweh, let Jehovah, let Yahweh, the Elohim of the spirits of all flesh." In other words, so Moses is going to the Lord to have his successor picked. "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man." He doesn't ask for an angel to be set over the children of Israel. He asks for a man to be set over the children of Israel. "Set a man over the congregation, and here is his heart." You see his heart for the people, "who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus said almost exactly the same term in Matthew 9 at the early part of his ministry. He saw the throngs of people there in the Galilee, and he was filled with compassion because they appeared as sheep without a shepherd. And then shortly after that, he sent the disciples out two by two. And the prayer there was, pray the Lord of the harvest to send workers for the harvest. And so we see here Moses has this great compassionate prayer because he's concerned about the people. And notice, he does not do what the mother of James and John did. He does not say, Lord, you pick somebody, but first candidate are my sons. Interesting, huh? Yeah. Because pretty much the line of succession of the Levitical priesthood was always the son of the high priest, right? But we don't have that here. Moses does not seek his own sons here to have a position, but he just goes to the Lord and said, Lord, you pick them. And I think that speaks well of Moses. How many times do we see people wanting to push their own children forward, and maybe you yourself would even put your children in a preferential position in some instances, depending on what the circumstances were. But Moses doesn't do that. He just says, set a man over the congregation. And now the Lord answers in verse 18, and the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua. It would appear to me that there's probably only two logical candidates here, Joshua and Caleb, because they were the only two who brought back the good report of the spies. But he says, take Joshua. Now, you know, Joshua has already proven himself. We have him leading the battle against the Amalekites back in Exodus 17. We have him, as Scripture says, a number of times humbly serving Moses. We have him reporting faithfully the prophesying in the camp. And so Joshua has distinguished himself to a degree already, but this is the Lord picking Joshua. The Lord says, take Joshua, Yeshua, the son of Nun, and here are his qualifications, a man in whom is the Spirit.
Yeah.
A man in whom is the Spirit. So when you're thinking about qualifications of people, if you have a replacement for something you're involved in, consider whether they're filled with the Spirit or not. I think that is so important. And now he's going to instruct Moses to do four things. First, lay your hand on him. We call that ordination or commissioning. And it's important to recognize that he is laying his hand on a man that God has chosen. It's not good, and it doesn't make any sense for you to pick a person and lay your hand on him and say, I'm picking you, and here's laying my hands on you. That's not the purpose of ordination. That's not the purpose of recognition of what the Lord has already picked. So here, lay your hands on the man I've already picked, which is Joshua. Set him before Eleazar. Now, Eleazar apparently at this point is not the high priest yet. It just says the priest. But later he's going to be inaugurated as a high priest because he has to be to have the Urim and the Thummim and to be able to do that kind of stuff. But here he says, set him before the high priest. Because the way that God is going to speak to Joshua is the way basically he's been speaking to Moses, and that is through the high priest. That's through the Urim and the Thummim here, because it's God giving the instruction to him. So he says, take him before Eleazar the priest, and then, this is very important, before all the congregation and commission him in their sight. This prevents the power struggle after the death of the leader. Because when Moses is gone, there's not, I mean, without this, can't you see a huge power struggle? See all the Levites running up there, I'm a Levite, I'm going to be the leader. Or Moses' sons running up, say, it's mine, this is my dad's ministry, I'm going to take it. No, he is having the congregation see this and know that this is the Lord's choice and commission him in their sight. And you, Moses, give authority, your authority to him. So the mantle is really being passed here. Again, what? That all of the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. This is just a beautiful transition, isn't it? It really is. And then he says, Joshua shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord. And so this is the method of decisions to be made. The inquiring before the Lord for Joshua by the judgment of the Urim at his word. Whose word? The priest's word. At the priest's word, they shall go out, and then through the Urim to Joshua, Joshua's word, they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in as a shepherd, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua And of course, that name is Yeshua. That name is Jehovah, is salvation. He took Joshua, or Jesus is another translation of that name. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he, Moses, laid hands on him, Joshua, and commissioned him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So again, we see Moses here, a meek man, a man not pushing for his own ideas as to what. He's not arguing with the Lord. He's not saying, but Lord, you considered my sons or whatever. He just is obedient to the Lord here. And this is the Lord's choice. And again, it's given in front of all of the people, so they will know that it's the Lord's choice. And again, notice that the qualification that God gives here is spirit-filled, a man in whom is the Spirit. Father, we thank you for this clear prayer and its teaching this morning. And Lord, we pray that we might be worthy in some small way to be known by you as a man or a woman in whom is the Spirit. Lord, we do desire to be filled with your Spirit. And we do desire to be available, Lord, for whatever you would have for any of us. And Lord, it's so awesome to think of you picking your servants. And Lord, you've picked us all, really. I think we all are commissioned. I think we're all called to be an apostle, in a sense. An apostle, one who is sent out and sent with a message. Lord, as you told the disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And that applies to each and every one of us. Lord, may we be the sent ones of you into this dark and dying world. And Lord, here we are to pray this morning, and the words of Paul saying, I'm a debtor, kind of echo in my ears as I've been thinking of that so much lately. And do we really look at ourselves as debtors because of what you've done for us and what you've given to us? I pray that we would really comprehend more than ever before this great, 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 great gift that you've given to your children. The gift of forgiveness of sins, the gift of not bringing them up again, the gift of promising us to be heirs of the kingdom and joint heirs of Jesus Christ forever. Oh, we are so blessed, Lord. We are so, so blessed. And yet we go around, how many of us go around and hanging our heads and moping and complaining and griping and this is wrong and that's wrong and oh, you don't understand and all that kind of a thing. Lord, help us to just see the debtors that we should be, want to be, need to be, would like to be, Lord. That we would be ready to preach the gospel. Bless. We would be ready and not ashamed of the gospel, yes. Lord. Mm-hmm. And Lord, to vocally or silently or just by example and above all else, Lord, prayer. Lord, we can pray, intercede against the strongholds of the evil one in each and every heart that is dark. And so, Lord, here we are this morning, an opportunity to pray to you again, to pray for the church, to pray for the retreats, to pray for the various teams out serving, Lord, for the government leaders and for the voters and just for this whole dark and dying world. And so, Lord, for the missionaries and just for individual petitions possibly, but primarily, Lord, we're here to intercede as you would lead us and as you would guide us. And give us a heart for that. Give us a heart for that. And fill us with your Spirit now, Lord. And may we have that gratefulness that you tell us love you with all our heart. Lord, it shouldn't be hard at all. And yet in these fleshly bodies, it's impossible. So, Lord, we just want to die to self again this morning and be filled with your Spirit. And in and through the power of the Spirit, we can love you with all our heart. And in the power of the Spirit, we can love others as you've loved us. And so, Lord, help us to recognize that through you and through your Spirit, we can do all things. And without that, we can't do anything. And so, Lord, lead us now, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.